Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Eric Ryder here with you on Alternative Talk, 11:50 a.m. We're headed towards 2 o'clock, and it's time once again to take a look at our traffic. Well, southbound I-5 between North Gateway and the I-90 interchange is slow at this hour. We're seeing slowing on the east side, southbound 405, right around the I-90 interchange on down to about 112th. 167 southbound in the Kent area is a bit slow at this hour. I-90 westbound, the off-ramp to southbound Rainier Avenue, there's a collision that is partially blocking the ramp there. I don't think I got a chance to mention I-5 southbound just north of Samish Highway, a collision blocking the left lane. Stay tuned for an encore edition of The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. Julie returns in a couple weeks with new shows.
Ryan's the nominee. Blimp on the loose. I'm Chaz Henry. House Republicans have nominated Wisconsin Representative Paul Ryan to become the chamber's next speaker.
Tomorrow, we are turning the page. We are not going to have a house that looked like it looked the last 2 years.
GOP lawmakers hoping the 45-year-old, who in 2012 was his party's vice presidential nominee, could lead them out of weeks of legislative disarray. It's said that current Speaker John Boehner will submit his letter of resignation from the post as soon as Ryan is sworn in as Speaker. Boehner's plans Friday, fly home to Ohio. A U.S. military blimp whose tie-down lines broke loose at a base in Maryland is now floating free over Pennsylvania. Cables dangling from it, slamming into power lines, leaving 20,000 in the dark. Correspondent Barbara Starr on the military's monitoring of that free-floating aerostat.
It is being tracked by two Air Force F-16s that were scrambled out of their air station near Atlantic City, New Jersey. They are tracking it. They are following it.
And the FAA trying to keep aircraft away. I'm Chaz Henry. Britain's Prince Harry is in Northern Virginia this afternoon cheering on participants in the annual Invictus Games, sporting competitions for wounded warriors from the U.S., U.K., and other allied nations.
I'm thrilled that the Invictus Games are happening again, obviously. Hundreds of additional veterans from around the world will benefit from taking part, and millions more people will be inspired by their stories. This really is going to be 4 incredible days of sports, I assure you.
The 2015 Nation's Report Card shows math and reading scores slipping for 4th and 8th graders in the U.S. over the past couple of years. Correspondent Scott Carr.
Math scores slipped for 4th and 8th graders. Reading grades were flat for 4th graders and lower for 8th graders. Only about a third of the nation's 8th graders were proficient or better in math and reading. For 4th graders, about 2 in 5 scored proficient or better.
And the Federal Reserve is keeping U.S. interest rates at record lows in the face of persistent threats from a weak international economy and excessively low inflation. Right now, though, the Dow up 167, S&P up 21. I'm Chaz Henry.
Here are the major rules for all the KKNW online contests. Entries for our online contests can be completed on the announced website and will be accepted through the deadline published on the contest page. Winners will be selected at random from all eligible entries received. 1 entry per person. You could win event tickets, trip giveaways, or other prizes of similar value. To be eligible, you must be at least 18 years old, have not won in the last 30 days, and reside within the KKNW listening area. Complete contest rules are available at 1150kknw.com.
Good afternoon, Eric Ryder here with you on Alternative Talk, 11:50 a.m. Time now for a quick look at our weather outlook. Looks like rain continuing through the rest of today for our Thursday. More showers expected. Highs around 60, lows around 49. Friday, more rain. Saturday, more rain. Highs around 60, lows around 50.
Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK FM 98.9 Digital HD3 Seattle.
This is an encore edition of The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. Julie returns live in a few weeks with new shows.
Well, it's all
to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk AM 1150, or perhaps you're listening to Blog Talk Radio, or perhaps you're listening to a podcast on iTunes. In any case, welcome. Doing something new today, which I'm very excited about. I have Lori Marie in the booth with me today, and she reached out to me about her dog, Buddy, who she's had for a little over, just over a month now. And we're basically going to do a private lesson, which is what I do full-time outside of the show. I go to people's homes and I do in-home private lessons for dog training and behavior. And we're going to do a lesson on the show for you to hear and hopefully benefit from if you have some similar questions as Lori Marie does about Buddy. Before we get started, though, just a couple of announcements. It's that time of year again, Eric. Can you guess what I mean when I say it's about that time of year again?
Are we talking dog?
It is dog related.
I know we're talking dog related.
Seattle Kennel Club Dog Show.
Thank you.
Yep.
I was going to say, is it the dog show time? But we're doing the dog show, and I didn't want to confuse people.
The different kinds, yes. The Seattle Kennel Club Dog Show is March, coming up here in the beginning of March. It is March, I believe, 8th that weekend. Yes, 8th and 9th, Saturday and Sunday at CenturyLink Field Event Center. All day, both days. Such a fun event. We've gone every year as a show since we've been on the air, so this will be our fifth year there. And it's a really fun event for dog lovers of all kinds. There's so much going on, so many demonstrations and vendor booths and meet the breeds and funny things like the dog dancing and nose work demonstrations and the Seattle Police Department, and in addition to the confirmation showing where you see the dogs trotting around the rings. So,
and it's inside too, right?
It is inside, yes.
I think that's important this time of year.
Yeah, for sure. So CenturyLink Field Event Center, Saturday and Sunday, March 8th and 9th this year. Check it out. You can find more information, seattlekennelclub.org, about that show. And so I'll be announcing that every show and talking about that. So fun. We'll be excited to be there again. And then also the Natural Pet Pantry, which is one of our show partners. They make, they're local, they're made in South Seattle, raw and cooked food for dogs and cats. And excellent, excellent food. It's my number one recommendation for people, has been for years, even before the show. And they've been partners with the dog show since our beginning, pretty much. And they have a new store that they are opening in Kirkland in Houghton Plaza, which is where the PCC is. I'm going to have Randy on, one of the owners, Randy and her husband Rolf, are the owners of the Natural Pet Pantry. And I'll have them on closer to the opening of the store.
So that's two locations where people can go directly to the Natural Pet Pantry.
And this one, so they have a storefront in Burien.
Mm-hmm.
And have for years, where they have all of their food available. And then this new location in Kirkland is going to be, you know, going to have their product, going to have some select products for health mostly, very, very carefully selected for quality, and also a lot of local practitioners potentially working out of the area as well, offering seminars. You know, acupressure, acupuncture. I'll be doing some talks there for training and behavior. I think Dr. Donna Kelleher, who I've had on the show, will be there as well. And they're just, it's a really going to be a really wonderful resource for the community, for people who are looking for support for their dog's health that's more complementary or holistic. So, excellent. I really look forward. This is just brand new. First week we've announced it, and it's really just continuing to take form. So
very cool.
Yeah.
Well, until they open up a storefront in Tacoma, we're going to have to keep going to Lucky Dog down there where we pick up Natural Pet Pantry.
That's right.
Products. So.
For the Beagle.
Yeah. For the Beagle.
Yeah.
For Abby.
All right. So, Lori Marie, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, I'm excited. Thank you.
And Lori Marie emailed me about Buddy, her about one-year-old mini Australian Shepherd who she adopted. Now, tell us about where you got Buddy and what you know about his history.
Sure. My husband and I have had dogs in the past, but it's been about 15 years since we've had a dog in our house.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been talking about it for a while, and I just got on and full steam ahead, started looking into a rescue. I wanted to do a rescue because I know that there's a lot of dogs out there that just need a happy home.
Yep.
So Buddy was a rescue. He's a kennel dog from a kennel in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman who ran the kennel and the breeding operation did not feel that he was breeding quality. So he was going to the pound. And who knew where he was going to go after that?
Mm.
We didn't know. So I just actually caught her. She's like, I'm taking him tomorrow.
Mm.
I said, well, no. Let's not do that. I said, let's really consider this. Talked with my husband. He said, yeah, let's do it. So we met her halfway and picked him up. But what I didn't know is he'd never been any place other than a kennel.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't know people. And she kind of told me that as she handed him squirming to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want to get to me, and he didn't want to go to her either. He was just a shaky, shaky little guy. And I wrapped him up in a towel and talked to him like a baby. My husband said, he's a dog, he's not a baby. But I just wanted him to be comfortable. And
yeah.
So on the 2.5-hour ride home, we made friends,
yeah.
He and I.
Mm-hmm. And so lots to say about that. I'll stay on track, but, not impressed in the first place with a breeder who would just give a dog to a shelter who wasn't good for breeding, right?
Right.
So anyway, so now you have him and you got him on Christmas Eve.
Yes, we did.
So it's been a little over a month.
Right.
And so tell me about what, so if you're just tuning in, I'm basically doing a private lesson with Lori Marie here on the air live. I met Buddy for the first time just before the show. And we didn't talk too much about him. I just kind of, wanted to meet him as an individual and just get a feel for him. And so now I'm just taking you through a normal sort of private lesson, except the dog's not with us right now. So what are, why did you reach out to me? What are some of the behaviors or challenges that you're seeing from him that you'd like to improve or that you'd like help with?
Okay, so one of them is that I said he bonded with me on the way home in the car,
mm-hmm.
and only with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel bad about that because my husband has always been like the dog man. We walk down a strange street on a walk in a strange state. Oftentimes, dogs follow him.
Yeah.
So he doesn't understand, my husband, Randy, does not understand why this dog does not love him.
Right.
And I think it has something to do with his past. Maybe he was hurt by a man or something. Or my husband's big, but he's not... he's not scary or
yeah.
anything. And so I would like to bring Buddy into the family, not just have him be a one-person dog, because really no one can take him for a walk. No one can give him food or anything, only me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to get everybody in the family involved in that. That's my husband. I have kids that are grown, but a mm-hmm. Grandson that spends a lot of time with us.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the issues.
Yep.
The other one, which was kind of a biggie, is he really likes my white carpet, and he likes to poop on my white carpet.
Okay.
And I don't think he likes it because he's really ashamed when he does it.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't seem to know how to say, I want out. And I think that's because he was in a kennel situation, and he had a door to get out.
Mm-hmm.
So he just went out. He never went in his kennel or wherever his bed was. He went out into the run. But there's no, I don't have that doggy door on my front door, and I'm probably not going to put one in. So I'd like to teach him how to ask to go out. And I've only ever had dogs from puppies.
Yeah.
So for whatever reason, I don't remember teaching them. It just kind of, I don't know, it happened. And so I'm out of sorts. I don't know what to do with that. Those are probably the biggest things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what his kennel looked like, that it was a run with an indoor-outdoor?
That's what I'm told, is that it was a run with an indoor-outdoor. The inside was heated, and that was where his bed was. He could get out at will.
Yeah.
And at the end of that run were shavings, like wood shavings.
Okay.
And that's where he did his business.
Okay.
I have wood shavings in several places in my yard. He will not even walk across them.
Okay. He's like, had enough of those. Thank you very much.
Yeah, he doesn't want to go across them.
Okay. And was he in our kennel with any other dogs, or was he just isolated?
No, I think there was a lot of other dogs.
Were they in the same run as he was?
No, they were like side by side by side.
Yeah. Okay. Do you know how he is with other dogs?
He's always excited to see them.
Okay.
He's a little scared in the beginning, but he does the dog sniff thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the dogs we've met on our walks around the neighborhood, he's not aggressive. and he doesn't yelp or run away
mm-hmm.
either. So I think he's just excited to be able to play.
Okay. So I took a quick little video of Buddy before the show when I met him, and I posted it on Instagram and put a link to it on our Twitter account. So if you're on Twitter, you can find it and see Buddy. It's at I Am Julie Forbes is the Twitter handle, and so you can see a little video of Buddy and see the little dog that we're talking about here. Okay, the first place to start, okay, so before I get into, since we're at the first break, so to recap, we're talking about getting him to be comfortable with your husband and others.
Yes.
Ideally. And also house training.
Yes.
And then there's other stuff that I'll talk about as well, but that those are kind of your two main things. And we're talking about a mini Australian Shepherd that Lori Marie and her husband Randy just adopted from a breeder, but he was basically on his way to the pound, and he just basically spent his life in a kennel because she wasn't going to use him for breeding. So
right.
It was just like, okay, we'll just toss him out. And you fortunately kind of intercepted that, met her halfway, picked him up, and now you have this dog that didn't have the, benefit of socialization.
Right.
Interaction. Exposure to different things. You know, he was had a very, very small life that was just within the confines of a kennel for a year. So much of that was, you know, not just the interaction, but just exposure to different sounds and sights and smells and all that stuff. So for the rest of the show, I'm going to be talking about what to do, at least to start, to kind of get him going and try to work him out of this and get him some confidence and all that. So we're going to take just a quick break, and when we come back, we'll get back into it with Lori Marie about her mini Australian Shepherd Buddy, and you're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes.
That's what you told me. You said the dog was here first.
The Natural Pet Pantry is Seattle's original source for wholesome dog and cat meals, offering 8 different protein options to accommodate your pet's dietary needs. Made locally using all U.S.-sourced ingredients, their freshly ground stews, raw or cooked, can be purchased from their 2 stores in Burien and Kirkland, most independent pet supply stores, or delivered right to your door. Go to naturalpetpantry.com for more information. I'm Julie Forbes, and my first choice for my pet's food is the Natural Pet Pantry. It's the educated choice.
Wish your dog didn't hate going to the vet. Wish you were welcomed by a team who cared. Jet City Animal Clinic is an enjoyable respite from the same old thing. Dr. Anderson and her team have created a full-service facility that combines veterinary expertise with a comfortable style. Jet City Animal Clinic is located in Seattle's Capitol Hill neighborhood on 12th Avenue across from Seattle U. Bring your crazy questions, odd ideas, and alternative thinking. Jet City Animal Clinic will work with you to keep your furry family members healthy and happy. Traditionally educated with an open mind, call us at 206-329-0253 or email info@jetcityanimalclinic.com to make an appointment. Jet City Animal Clinic, a unique approach to the health care of your urban pet, a local family practice. JetCityAnimalClinic.com.
Hey, Dog Show fans. Does something stink in your home or car? Pure Air is a powerful odor eliminator that is the only natural food-grade product in its category. It works on bedding, kennels, litter boxes, urine, vomit, poop, even skunk spray. You know, all the fun smells our pets bring into our home. It's so non-toxic that you can literally eat it, a requirement for our home and our dogs. Spray Pure Air on anything you can put water on and let your nose watch the odor disappear. Ask for Pure Air in stores that specialize in natural, non-toxic products for home. Or visit dogradioshow.com for a link to their website. I'm Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Show. Pure Air is the only odor eliminator you'll find in my home. You'll love it.
Feed your mind and your body and spirit will follow. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Welcome back to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Lori Marie and about her mini Australian Shepherd Buddy, who's a year old. She and her husband Randy adopted him about a month ago, a little over a month ago, on Christmas Eve. And he was basically lived in a kennel for a year, his first year of his life, a little isolated and certainly not exposed to much. And he was on his way to the shelter because he wasn't good for breeding. And they sort of intercepted that and have had him for a little bit. And she's got some questions now, mostly that he's super just bonded to her and really wants nothing to do with her husband, who's a big dog guy and is kind of like, what, you know, what gives?
Exactly.
And also some house training questions. So the first place to start in, you know, and I'm already present to the fact that I wish we had more time, but we can, you know, we can do updates and, you know, maybe follow-ups and stuff. But the first place to start, because so when he was handed to you by the breeder, he didn't really want anything to do with her, and he didn't really want anything to do with you because he's not been exposed to people.
Right.
So, but you know, successfully got him in your arms, wrapped him in a towel. He sat in the car with you on your lap.
Yeah, I actually put him on the floor because she told me he might be sick.
Okay. But, you know, with you
in
the car.
Yeah.
Okay. For a 2.5 hour ride or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you get, and then when you got him home, was he just sort of attached to you?
Yes.
Okay. So he's, you know, dogs, any dog that's, you know, from a shelter or, you know, even just switched from situation to situation, but especially from a sort of shelter or rescue situation, they're in survival mode, you know. And he was at not just sort of, oh, where am I? But he was actively showing fear.
Yeah.
Kind of like, oh, my gosh, you know, I don't know people. I'm not comfortable. Certainly very fearful. He's on his own. And then he finds himself in a car with you. You're being very nice and sweet to him the whole ride home, you know, cooing at him.
He was.
And, you know, talking sweet to him. And so he was like, okay, she is my survival. So the reason why, now I don't know if, and there's no way to tell, had he sat with your husband and you had driven, would he have attached to him, or would he still have been more drawn to you because you're a woman and it's really common for dogs, especially from rescue situations, or who just haven't had much exposure to people, where they're just not as comfortable around men. Men's deeper voices, bigger stature, you know,
yeah.
It's just very common, but it's hard to say if that's what would have happened with him or not. And like I said, we'll never know that, but he's just attached to you and he does not have any need to bond to Randy because you're there.
Right.
So, okay, well, how do we, you know, kind of facilitate this? And also this will also, you know, so what I'm going to go into is also going to address the house training. The place to start is with training, basic training, where he's comfortable, because what we need to do is we need to get access to his brain, get him thinking, build his confidence also. And there's some other things that I'll talk about that will help that as well. But just basic training. I know you've been working with him a little bit on your own, too. Teaching him sit, teaching him wait, teaching him, you know, kind of starting with your basics. That gives you communication with him because now you have these words that he's learned and at least you can communicate to him. Also teaching him good and no and what those two words mean. Those are the two most important words because that's how you're going to identify to him any points in time where oh, you made the right choice. Ooh, I like that. Ooh, do that again. Show me that again. That works for you. So all positive. And then you also have ways to correct him if he makes a wrong choice. Like, for example, if you catch him pooping on the rug. You want to communicate to him, no, that behavior is not, you know, acceptable in this house. I don't like that. And that's it. You just tell him no, scoop him up, run him outside, hopefully have him finish outside. And I'll get more into house training,
okay,
too. But, but we need communication. Everything is dependent on having communication with him. And dogs aren't verbal, right?
Right.
So we tend to blah, 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 da-da-da-da-da, you know, we're so talk, here we are, this is talk radio, right? And we tend to forget about the fact that dogs are not verbal. It's not their first language, so they can learn hundreds of words on average, easy, but that's not their first language. So if we're trying to basically, you know, in some ways look at this as like a rehabilitation of a dog who's, you know, I think it would be fair to say, you know, not necessarily abused, but traumatized by isolation or by this transition. And we're trying to rehabilitate him and basically build him from zero. We need communication. And the training gives you a context to really develop communication with him, not just words, but get a feel for him, build his confidence, like I said, get that brain engaged, because that is huge as far as grounding dogs, not having them be reactive and skittish. You by giving him a simple command, sit. Now he's thinking about sit. And if you can get him sitting confidently and getting it so he's like, oh, yeah, I know this, you know, it builds confidence in a way, because the world is predictable to him.
Okay.
And then when he does sit for you, of course, you'll be working with him in a way, and I just talked about this past weekend. I gave a talk at the Assistance Dog Club of Puget Sound about motivation. We always want the dogs feeling good about the work that they do, of course, right? But when he does things for you, because we need this dog, we need to build his confidence in a very constructive way, not in a naughty way, but in a very constructive way. Oh, buddy, you are a genius. Good sit. Isn't that the most amazing thing you've seen all day? That's what you want him to feel. When he sits for you, build him up.
Okay.
Oh, good sit.
So he's not much on treats.
That's
so, is it okay just to ruffle his fur and give him a pat on the head and tell him how good he is?
Yes.
Okay, good.
And it's a good question, because I think people undervalue the relationship. And this is a part of what I talked about this past weekend when I gave my talk about motivation, is that, I mean, treats are fine to use for normal dogs, and it's a really easy way to identify when they've made a right choice. But we shouldn't be reliant on the treats, and it shouldn't be the primary motivation. And what if you have a dog who's not crazy about treats? He wouldn't take a treat from me. You know, and he doesn't just really generally like, you know, he's not just crazy about treats anyway. So we don't have that really as an option, and that's okay. So you have a relationship with him. He's attached to you. So you let him know with all of your energy, oh, but good sit. Not just good sit, but like lay it on thick.
Okay.
You want to be careful about getting too excited, though. You said ruffle is
so more calm.
So thick but calm. If you get too excited, that can kind of make him break, and then he's not in the position anymore. So that can work against you in training. So that's the place to start, is to, you know, we're looking at this, you know, because we need that foundation laid, because then that brings us to how do we get him bonding to your husband? And that's the in. Is going to be through the work, is going to be getting them working together. So getting Buddy in a context where he's confident, and then transferring that to your husband, or to where you and your husband are maybe working both with him, or, you know, easing him over and getting used to interacting with your husband. But he, you can't, you know, he's not going to be bought off with food,
right.
Even if he was food motivated. It wouldn't buy him off with food. And this is an important thing for people to understand. If a dog is fearful, you can't buy them off with food. If you're walking along the street, you know, in your town center or in Seattle, and there's someone that's just really creeping you out, darkness about that person, and you're just like, ooh. And they come over to you and they're like, hey, you know, do you want this money? Here's $20.
Right, I would say no thanks.
You'd be like, I'm all set. I am not comfortable around you. Or maybe you're comfortable enough to grab the money and then run away.
Which?
So, you know, so the I think it's like you, they're not, you know, fear, especially for at his level, they're not just like, oh, we're fine now. You know, he's got everything in him telling him this is dangerous to me, and just giving him a treat, if anything. So even if he took the treat, which he doesn't, but let's say he was a dog that was food motivated, goes up, takes a treat, backs up, goes up, takes a treat, backs up, goes up, takes a treat, backs up. This can actually work against you, because then what you're doing is you're teaching him to approach in the presence of fear. And what you can actually do is create aggression.
Yeah, we don't want that.
Because if a dog is afraid, we would much rather have them choose to move away from what they're afraid of than use aggression as a response to the fear.
Right. Okay.
So we need to be smarter about, you know, understanding dogs are complex animals with emotions just like us. They're not people. They are dogs. And there are certain differences, and I'm going to talk about some of those for sure in this conversation that are very important to understand. But, you know, we need to kind of come in a way that's more constructive. So, like I said, building his confidence, engaging his brain, this is the work that you're going to need to do with him first, and then we're going to bring your husband in on it. And we just need to ask your husband to just be patient and not take it personally. And I think it's even harder because this is a guy that's used to, like you said, he's walking through.
It's like the Pied Piper of dogs.
Right. So he's used to, like, dogs love me. I'm such a dog guy, and I've got good energy and, you know, all that stuff. And here's this dog who doesn't want anything to do with him and is even afraid of him. And it's frustrating, and it's, you know, but it's not personal. It doesn't have anything to do with him.
It's all the dog.
He didn't want anything to do with me either, and look what I do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I know it's not about me. This is a dog that was isolated for the first year of his life and was afraid of all people at first, was even afraid of you at first, but has attached to you for survival and that you're a nice person.
Yeah.
So let's, you know, Randy, hopefully you're listening or will listen. Hang in there and just be patient and try to just, you know, let Buddy feel that however he is okay with you. And then we'll work on that once this sort of groundwork foundation is laid, giving him some confidence. There's other things that you can do too, like nose work is great.
So what is nose work? Because I heard a lot about that.
So I'm just, because of time today, look up my interviews with Miriam Rose,
okay,
who is a professional scent detection trainer and handler and the woman who brought the sport to the state.
Okay.
And you can learn all about nose work from her. My interview with her, I've had her on a couple times.
Okay.
And it's a great, great way to build confidence in a dog, especially like Buddy, because it enables you to tap into something so, like, fundamental to him as a dog is the search. So if we can bring that out of him, that seeking out of him, that searching with his nose, and tap into that through something like nose work, it's awesome for confidence. It would be a great thing for your husband to do with him.
Okay.
So check out in the archives. You can find them on dogradioshow.com or on iTunes. Nose work, my interviews with Miriam Rose.
Excellent.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more about Buddy, the one-year-old rescue mini Australian Shepherd, and his owner, Lori Marie. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. Powerful formula lets you eliminate pet odors safely. It's strong enough to effectively get rid of smells like urine, plus stronger odors like those that can be caused by illness. Pure Air is safe enough to spray directly onto people, animals, or use in the bath or laundry. Pure Air is perfect for dealing with dire situations, refreshing your dog between baths, or just before company comes. Pure Air is the most effective product you can buy to remove stinky pet odors safely. Find it at stores like Mud Bay, McClendon's, and Natural Pet Pantry, or visit their website, pureair.com. That's pure, ayre.com. I'm Julie Forbes, host of The Dog Show. Pure Air is the only odor eliminator you'll find in my home. You'll love it.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga, we cover the world of animals. This week, November 1st, we'll be serving the human animal. With me in the studio, Susan Usha Derman, author of Calm and Compassionate Children, also a longtime member of Ananda and very involved with the Living Wisdom Schools. We'll explore the creation, history, philosophy, and curriculums of these schools in all locations worldwide. On Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Body, mind, and spirit. Alternative Talk 1150 covers it all.
Welcome back to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. And if you are just tuning in, we are talking with Lori Marie about her one-year-old rescue mini Australian Shepherd named Buddy. Lori Marie emailed me and asked me, you know, about, she said, I've got this dog, and he's, you know, basically lived in a kennel pretty much by himself. There were dogs around him, but he was, you know, very much so isolated for the first year of his life, and he's very fearful, and, you know, we're having some challenges with him. And I thought, gosh, this would be a great thing to do on the show to help give this information to other people. You know, like you said, there's so many dogs in rescue, and a lot of people who fortunately, you know, open up their homes to dogs that need homes who have come from hard places, but they oftentimes come with challenges, and so we don't want them to end up back at a shelter.
Right.
So in this last segment, we talked about a foundation. So your two questions that you said, you know, he's attached to you, but he doesn't want anything to do with really anybody else. And most importantly, your husband,
mm-hmm.
which is not working for your family. You know, you want him to be a family dog and be comfortable with everybody. And then also we're talking about house training. So if you've missed any part of this, you can find them in our archives, dogradioshow.com, or on iTunes as a free audio podcast. So I talked about building a foundation, starting with just basic training. Sit, you know, wait. Basics,
right?
Because what that does is engages his brain, makes him think. When a dog is thinking, they're not reacting. It's a way to build confidence. We talked about the proper use of food. Now, Buddy is not very food motivated at all.
No.
And you guys live in Normandy Park, and you heard us talking about the Natural Pet Pantry, one of their stores in Burien.
We will be going.
Yeah, which is awesome. So, because, you know, in looking at this kind of situation, so I was very clear, we talked about in this first segment, basic training is one of the biggest places to start for him. We also mentioned nose work as a great way to build confidence and also strengthen the relationship, and I said that that would be something wonderful to do with your husband. And then you said, how do I find out about nose work? And I said, in the interest of time, just look up the archives of my interviews with Miriam Rose, who is a certified nose work instructor and professional scent detection trainer. Excellent interviews with her, very interesting, talking about not only nose work, but the dog's incredible sense of smell. A couple interviews there in the archives. So house training. So we're going to have to put your, Randy, we just asked him to be patient. There's some work to do, and then that can be addressed more specifically, but we need some tools. Okay, house training. This was a dog that was in a kennel, indoor-outdoor run kind of thing. There was like wood shavings at the end of the outdoor run where he went potty on. This is what you're told.
Right.
You said, so one of my things, I thought, ooh, wood shavings, you know, put some wood shavings out back and he'll just think, oh, this is where I go potty. Well, he won't even walk on them.
He doesn't want to go there. No.
So, okay, well, that's not going to work. Now, how many, does he go potty outside?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's generally in the beginning, it was only on the leash because he ran away Christmas Day. I don't know if I told you that, but
yeah.
So it was on the leash, and which I think is uncomfortable for him, right? He wanted a little privacy.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, he's now off the leash, but he wants me to go outside with him. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to go outside by himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I go outside with him, and I stand and I wait, and he does his business. But we have not been able to get the, you know, the poop. It's, and I have white carpet.
Yeah, of course. Do you, does he poop outside?
He does.
Okay.
If the mood strikes him when we're outside, but sometimes he'll go potty outside, and then he looks at me like, okay, I'm done. He just sits there, and I'll go back in the house, and I'll turn around, and he's on my carpet.
Yeah,
so,
right after you've come back in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things, I mean, house training is, I have a handout about this that I'll email to you.
Okay.
You're working on the basic training will help your house training efforts because it's working his brain. I cannot speak enough about the importance of engaging the brain. It's where it's at. Thought process, thought process, thought process. Okay. He has never had to think really much at all in his very small world. So his brain isn't developed in that way. And the good news is that it can be. It just takes work and training and all that stuff. So your efforts in training and sort of increasing those different pathways and exercising his brain to think and communicate and all that will help your house training efforts. It will help him to make connections elsewhere in life.
Okay.
Because house training is education. You're trying to communicate. Again, there's that word communication. It's everything. If you don't have communication, you can't educate. So it's building that communication, and what you're trying to educate him about are sort of the rules of the house of, listen, buddy, you don't go potty inside, you go potty outside. But you can't say, buddy, don't go potty inside, go potty outside, because dogs aren't verbal. So how do dogs learn? They learn through experiencing. They're so in the moment. So it has to be with something that's a little bit abstract, like house training. It has to be a number of experiences that all add up over time to mean you go potty outside, not inside. So, and this might take you, you know, a month, 2 months, 6 months to potty train him. Every dog is different. Some dogs get it very quickly. Other dogs, even just as puppies, you know, you get them as an eight-week-old puppy. Some dogs even take into adolescence to house train, and other dogs are house trained by 3 months. So very individual thing. But it's like I said, it's the experiences that all add up to sort of show this is what I'm talking about. You have a history in theater, right?
Yes.
So, you know, you're sort of seeing this play out over time, and you're getting a sense, if it was a silent theater, you'd kind of get a feel for, okay, this is what's the story, this is what happened, and all that kind of stuff. So you're wanting it all to add up. So that means, first of all, the first rule of house training is prevention. Prevent him from having the accidents in the first place. Get him in the habit of going outside as much as possible.
Like every couple of hours?
It doesn't necessarily mean that you're taking him out every, you know, 10 minutes or half hour or 2 hours, because we want him to also learn how to hold his potty.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to we don't want him expecting to relieve himself too frequently also. But so ways that you can prevent having him on leash with you in the house.
Oh, okay.
You know, loop him to your belt and he's just around with you, or he's around with your husband, or, you know, I mean, kind of feel that one out and see. Just have your husband ignore him, but just have him be with him.
Okay.
So he's not putting pressure on interaction, but he's just getting used to being with him. And maybe he's just like, hey, we're going over here. Hey, we're going over here, but he's not trying to touch him or anything.
Okay.
You could try that for a couple weeks and just see if you notice that he gets more comfortable. So you're preventing the accident from happening by managing the environment, not by taking him out all the time.
Okay.
Because like you said, sometimes you take him out and he doesn't go, and then he comes back in and he goes, you know, and people say that all the time.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, what are you doing? I just took you outside. So we need to prevent him from having the accident. He's not likely to poop if he's on leash with you inside. If you need to, you know, he's good in a kennel. So if there's a time where you can't watch him, or you know okay, he hasn't pooped. I know it's in there.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to set him up for failure by just letting him run free, because it only takes, you know, what, 30 seconds of being out of your sight at
right.
the most. So you structure your environment so that if you can't watch him, if you can't be watching him literally constantly, then he's managed by either being on leash with you, or he's in his kennel, or he's in a in an area like some dogs, like, you know, if he were sort of gated off in the kitchen, like he, there's no way he's going to go in the kitchen. It's always off in the dining room.
It's only on the white carpet.
Yeah, only on the white carpet. So you basically restrict his access to whatever degree is necessary okay. for him as an individual, so that he's kind of like, oh, I have to poop, but there's not really anywhere that I want to poop here, or I'm on leash and I can't. And then you go outside, and now he has the opportunity to go. He goes, you praise him, good potty.
Oh, good.
So
okay.
praise him specifically for pottying.
Mm-hmm.
I say potty, whatever you want to say, it
yeah.
doesn't matter. But you don't want to just say good boy. So good potty.
Oh, I'm
so
telling him good boy. Okay,
so
I'm
that's how
it.
He's going to acquire the words.
Okay.
So when he sits, you tell him good sit. When he comes to you, you say good come. When he potties outside, good potty. When he's in his crate, good crate.
Oh, good. Yeah, he doesn't like going in his crate, but he will go.
Mm-hmm. So work on him liking the crate more.
Yeah.
Positive association, however you can do that. And if all that means is you know, he goes in the crate and you just tell him how amazing he is, that, oh, aren't you so amazing? Good crate, good crate. Now, he does eat his meals, so you could feed him in his crate. He's not super treat motivated, but you could try to find stuff. I'm telling you, that natural pet pantry cooked stew is good stuff. So
I have to label it so my husband doesn't think
yeah.
it's less than this.
Right. And if he did eat it, it would be okay, too, which is a good thing about that, right? But, you know, frozen Kongs, the other thing that I love to do with that food is to get, you know what a Kong is?
Yeah, it's a rubber thing with a,
looks like a beehive.
We didn't have those when we bred dogs years and years ago, like 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah. So I love the Kongs. They have all these different sizes. You could just kind of get like a medium one and stuff it with Natural Pet Pantry food that's thawed, and then put the Kong in the freezer and it freezes in there. And then it's something that you can give him. Either he can eat a meal that way, or it's just a way to do the, you know, positive association to the crate. Never use the crate as punishment.
Okay.
One, dogs do not experience correction in that way. So this whole notion of put the dog in a timeout because they were bad just doesn't work in the first place. And I can't tell you how many people told me that they were told that by other professionals.
Okay. Yeah.
Dogs are in the moment. So you address, if there's a wrong choice, you just address it in the moment, and then that's it. It's over. So this whole, like, you're in the timeout and think about what you did.
Doesn't work.
No.
No. Okay.
And I don't want them viewing the crate as a punishment.
No. Well, he sleeps in his crate.
Mm-hmm.
The crate is next to the bed in the bedroom because he really was upset when I had him in the laundry room. But you know what? He wanted to be around people.
Yeah.
He just is very quiet, and he doesn't like to, but he goes in, he sleeps all night.
Yep. And it was a good move. You know, I think it's kind of brutal to isolate a dog, you know, sleep by yourself. You know, they're pack animals.
I mean, that was not my intention when I got him. I wanted him to be with us,
right.
not on the bed,
right.
but in the room where we are and be a companion.
Yep. Okay, time for a break, and we'll be back with our last segment talking about Buddy, the Rescue Mini Australian Shepherd. He's a year old, and Lori Marie and her husband Randy got him about a month and a week ago. It was Christmas Eve, and he spent the first year of his life kind of isolated in a kennel, and so there's challenges as a result of that. So if you've missed any part of this show or any of our over 250 episodes, you can find them archived on dogradioshow.com. Also on iTunes is a free podcast, and don't forget to like us on Facebook, The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, and you can find me on Twitter at @IamJulieForbes. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
This
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dogs, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedogs.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com. The Natural Pet Pantry is Seattle's original source for wholesome dog and cat meals, offering 8 different protein options to accommodate your pet's dietary needs. Made locally using all U.S.-sourced ingredients, their freshly ground stews, raw or cooked, can be purchased from their 2 stores in Burien and Kirkland, most independent pet supply stores, or delivered right to your door. Go to naturalpetpantry.com for more information. I'm Julie Forbes, and my first choice for my pet's food is the Natural Pet Pantry. It's the educated choice.
3 ways to listen on the AM dial at 1150, on the FM HD dial at 98.9 HD3, or online at 1150kknw.com. 1 great station, Alternative Talk 1150.
Go, buddy, go, buddy, go, buddy, go, buddy, come on, go.
Go, buddy, you can do it, buddy. We're talking about Buddy, the mini Australian Shepherd, who's 1 year old. One of his owners, Lori Marie, is here with me today in the booth. We're basically just kind of doing a little private lesson here live on air, talking about their challenges with Buddy after having him a little over a month. He was isolated in a kennel, did not have exposure really to people. There were other dogs near him, but he did not also have opportunity to at least have companionship in that way. So, like I said, you know, I mean, usually when I do an initial session with a client, which is what I do full-time in Seattle and on the east side, you know, Seattle area, and have been for over 10 years now, my first session with new clients is usually an hour and a half because there's usually just so much to cover and questions to ask. And so this show is much shorter than that. It's not even an hour with breaks and then the announcements that I had. So there is so much more that I wish, you know, I wish we had actually another hour and then I could really get into everything. But I just want to get to some other things as well, because it's important. You know, we talked about, so your 2 main questions were, you know, getting him comfortable with people other than you, especially your husband.
Yeah.
And then house training. So we talked about your first question and the second segment, house training, and the last segment. If you missed any part of this, dogradioshow.com, just go to the podcast page and all of our shows will come up and you can search them by year. And also this year, the most recent episode will be at the top, or you can go to iTunes and download for free there too. So we addressed kind of some specifics there. I want to talk about just some other things that are important for adjustment, because I look at animals, you know, well, dogs. I look at dogs, but I think this applies to animals in general. I think being happy is a powerful thing for anybody.
Humans and dogs.
Quality of life. So what can we do to just have them feel good emotionally, physically? For his, you know, given his situation and his skittishness and, you know, he sees something that's new and, you know, he just kind of like wants to move away from it. It's a reactive thing, when it totally makes sense given his history. You mentioned flea medication.
Yeah.
Don't give him flea medication.
Is there a natural something we can do?
Yes, okay. You can. Flea Busters guarantees no fleas for a year. You treat your house non-toxic, not the animal. Do you have area rugs or wall-to-wall carpeting anywhere?
Just the wall-to-wall carpeting, the white stuff that's going to go as soon as he's trained.
Okay. Well, any carpeting or area rugs that you have, they'll come in, treat your house with this non-toxic form of salt. They brush it in very vigorously. It creates a static charge so that you can vacuum over it. It's not going to vacuum up the treatment. Dehydrates the environment so that fleas can't live in it. If you want to learn more about fleas, you can look up my interview with Flea Busters. And on February 19th, I'm going to be interviewing Dr. Michael Fox, one of my all-time favorite guests. I've had him on the show several times now, and we're actually going to be talking about flea medication. I am seeing now over and over and over again a link between agitated behavior, anxiety, and fear, and flea medication. And if you look up how it works, it attacks the central nervous system of insects, and it causes, quote, hyperexcitation, and mammals are not immune to it.
So while we're treating the flea, in essence, we're treating the dog, too. I mean, the dog is getting the same attack.
Well,
so to speak.
Yeah, so what I understand of, and there's different drugs out there, but that the chemical prefers the receptor sites in the nervous system of insects, but the keyword is prefer.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not immune to it.
Okay.
And I'm seeing this. And if we were so immune to it, then why would the labels tell us, don't touch it, if you come in contact, wash your hands? One of them says, Trifexis says, will cause miscarriage in pregnant women.
Awesome.
Right. Oh, okay. But it's fine to put it on the animal.
Okay.
So,
well, that will
no
be the
more
last,
of that, right?
The last, we got it from a vet.
Yep.
But that's the last time I'll do it.
That's the relationship between pharmaceutical companies and vet schools.
Okay.
It's just like human medicine in that way.
Okay.
So, no more flea medication. It's not good for them, and you don't need to do it to control fleas. So, you can do flea busters. They guarantee no fleas for a year. And you don't have to do anything to him.
Awesome.
Food. You guys are going to Natural Pet Pantry.
Mm-hmm.
Good nutrition.
Yeah.
And having that he loves his food. I mean, how one of my favorite things to do is to go out to a nice dinner and have delicious food. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. So, you know, rather than these dried brown pellets with who knows what in them, processed like crazy, giving him some food that tastes good and that really actually nourishes his body. So that's covered. Other types of professionals, I would recommend having him see Dr. Nels. Dr. Nels Rasmussen, who I've also interviewed on the show, if you want to learn more about him. He's a chiropractor, but he does, he's not going to, like, do physical manipulation. He does sort of, like, energetic stuff.
Okay.
Amazing. I mean, he has cured paralyzed dogs.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's also great for nervous, anxiety, fear, clearing trauma.
Excellent.
So Dr. Nels, I would recommend, if he were my dog, I'd be seeing Dr. Nels. I'd be getting him on, you know, raw or cooked food from Natural Pet Pantry, no flea medication, exercise, nose work, training. So taking care of him mentally and emotionally as well. And I want to make sure, because we're starting to get close to the end of the show, huge, important, because you are a very sweet, nurturing woman. Do not comfort him.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's okay. You're okay.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I've been messing with a dog.
Yeah. Well, you certainly obviously did not cause this in him, but it will only reinforce the fear.
Okay.
Because if you were to take a video of yourself comforting him in an effort to make him feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
If you took a video of yourself doing that and then you watched it back muted, what does it look exactly like?
It
praise.
Yeah.
So you're reinforcing that state
behavior.
Of being.
Yeah.
And if he's fearful, we don't want to praise him for being fearful and just reinforce the behavior. We want to provide him comfort, but as a dog, how you provide him comfort is engaging his brain, building his confidence with training and work, and giving him direction in a way that he feels good in the environment where he's nervous.
Great. If people could have seen the light go on in my eyes, they would have went, oh
yeah, you're not the only one.
Okay,
and
that's good.
Because if he were a human child, I mean, you're a mom, you know, if a child gets spooked by something, you wrap your arms around them, you kiss them on the cheek, and you tell them that they're okay and they feel better.
And then they go off and play.
And it works. And that's just one of the biggest disconnects between people and dogs. Dogs just don't get that. They don't comfort each other.
Okay.
And there's other ways to provide comfort. So
okay.
So we'll have to, you know, keep in touch. And
yes.
If you need any, you know, in-home help, let me know.
For sure.
But, you know, we'll circle back around and kind of check in on Buddy in a couple months, maybe 3 months.
Yeah.
Kind of depending on
That's
how
great.
He's doing. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. This was great. I hope this was helpful for people who are in a similar situation.
Thank you.
And
opportunity, yeah.
We'll you know, I'll look forward to hear how his progress is. So that's it for today. Thanks so much for listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. Don't forget to find us on our website, dogradioshow.com, iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter. I am Julie Forbes. We'll see you next week, live Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m.
Expressed on the preceding program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. Contests mentioned during this program are the responsibility of the host of this program and not of the station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK FM 98.9, Digital HD3 Seattle.
Good afternoon, Eric Reiner here with you on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Time now for a quick look at our traffic. Well, northbound I-5 between Alboro Place and Yesler Way is slow at this hour. Seeing slowing up around Lake City Way and heavy between State Route 526 and US 2 in Everett. Southbound I-5, North Gateway on down to about Pine Street is slow, more slowing at South Center. On the east side, southbound 405, stop and go through Bellevue on down to Newcastle. Northbound seeing slowing around the 520 interchange in both directions of 405, slow in the Bothell area. 167 between Kent and Auburn is slow. Stay tuned. Dog Schnob Radio is coming up next.
Ryan nominated, blimp has landed. I'm Chaz Henry. On Capitol Hill today, Congressman Paul Ryan's been nominated by fellow Republicans to be the next Speaker of the House.
This begins a new day in the House of Representatives.
Wisconsin's Paul Ryan got 200 votes among the Republican conference, but Daniel Webster of Florida received 43 from his allies in the Freedom Caucus, hardline conservatives that made life difficult for John Boehner, the man Ryan would replace.
Correspondent Bob Costantini telling us the full House will vote tomorrow. It landed this afternoon in Pennsylvania after floating free from a military base in Maryland, chased by fighter jets as it lumbered along, a military blimp that got away. Paul Wirth, a utility spokesman in Allentown, PA, saying cables hanging from the blimp slammed against power lines.
There are about 18,000 customers without power. That's down from about 30,000 about an hour ago. We've been restoring some of these customers through switching them to other sources.
That blimp being tested as a platform for electronic surveillance gear. I'm Chaz Henry. Scary to imagine this, correspondent Steve Kastenbaum on an alleged sexual assault at 40,000 feet.
A woman on board an Emirates flight from Dubai to Kennedy Airport here in New York had taken a pill to help her sleep on the long journey. When she woke up, she found that hand lotion had been spread all over her body. When she went to the bathroom, she realized she had been sexually assaulted. The man who was sitting next to her was arrested when the plane landed.
Astronauts Scott Kelly and Chell Lindgren are safely back aboard the International Space Station after a spacewalk that lasted more than 7 hours, the two getting kudos from Gaun Kuntol in Houston.
We have called this EVA concluded. On behalf of the entire team here, we want to thank you guys for all the hard work that you put into this heck of a task. You guys did a great job.
And from Central Oregon, word that two people were killed as a World War II era tank exploded while being filmed firing. The firing of the M-18 Hellcat was being recorded for use in a museum display. The Dow today closing up 198. I'm Chaz Henry.
Alternative Talk 1150. We're on your radio at 1150 AM. We're on your HD radio at 98.9 Channel 3.
So many ways to listen.
We're on the web at 1150kknw.com. Streaming live audio and video as well as MP3 archives of many of our shows.
So many ways to listen.
And now, we're on your smartphone or tablet. Download our free app in the Apple App Store or Google Play and take Alternative Talk 1150 anywhere you go.
So many ways to listen.
Good afternoon, Eric Reiner here with you on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m. Time now for a quick look at our weather outlook. Looks like rain continuing through the rest of today for our Thursday. More showers expected. Highs around 60, lows around 49. Friday, more rain. Saturday, more rain. Highs around 60, lows around 50.
Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK FM 98.9 Digital HD3 Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Dodge Snob Radio. I'm your host, DRC Dent. And for those of you who are interested in more information about what I do and how to better care for your dogs, you can also go to my website, dogsnob.org, or my Facebook page. And I love to have your comments and suggestions and feedback. If you'd like to call in today, we are at 425-373-5527 here at KKNW. You can also reach us at 888-298-5569, and I would love to have people call in today and get some questions for my special guest that I have coming up. Kind of a secret. I'll let you know in a few minutes. First, I'd like to make an announcement. Next week's show, we're going to have Dr. Aaron Zamzow. And Dr. Aaron is going to be talking about vaccination titer tests. And there's going to be a vaccination titer test clinic September 19th, which is a Saturday, and it's going to be at Natural Pet Pantry in Kirkland from 11 till 4 or 5, depending on how many people show up. And I definitely want to encourage everyone to come and get their titer test for their dogs. Just a little understanding as far as knowing whether your dog is actually protected against parvo, distemper, or rabies. And just remember that an antibody titer test is the only way to know if your dog has immunity, and those antibodies will show up in their blood. So this is a blood test draw. But you can call and reserve your space at Natural Pet Pantry. Their number is 425-739-4738. And we definitely would love to see a lot of people there making sure that their dogs are protected and hopefully preventing any unnecessary vaccines, saving you the expense, and most of all, making sure that our dogs are healthy. So the subject of today's show is one of my favorite subjects, which is nutrient assimilation. And that just means how your dogs actually use the ingredients that we're feeding them. So over the last year, a big subject of conversation has been a topic called nutrigenomics. And this is the combination of nutrients and genes. So what you take in can actually be affected or can affect the genes that you are born with. So we can make our lives better or make our lives worse, depending on what we're eating. The same is true for our dogs. And I believe Julie Forbes did a recent interview with Dr. Gene Dodds, who was actually the author of a book called Canine Nutrigenomics. Fascinating book. One of the really fascinating parts of that that I found was the statement, the discovery, that certain nutrients that people can use at a genetic level, dogs can also use at a genetic level. And where we look at something and say, wow, this is a great antioxidant. This is a great medicinal help. This is something that will help my dog be healthier. Because it worked for us, we wanted to use it for our dogs. And in a lot of ways, we now know that we can. The key factor in this is what is actually going on in each of the bodies, how the bodies are actually different. So what I tend to call the species gap is that bridge between what we know people can have for nutrition and how they can assimilate that, and what we know dogs can have as nutrition and how they assimilate it. So while we're looking at these commonalities and we're really excited to know that we can use these nutrients similarly to heal ourselves, to make ourselves healthier and do the same for our dogs, it's really important to understand the biological differences between people and dogs so that whatever form we give it to our dogs in is going to be a form they can actually use. So in talking about kind of the basics of that, I think it'll give us a base for the rest of the subjects and my special guest today. And the basics, I think, to understand are the difference between biology. And you hear a lot of talk about what's a carnivore, what's an herbivore, what's an omnivore. The basic science on it is categories. So they're categorizing each of these different canine, herbivore, omnivore based on their biological makeup. So when I look at the difference between a person assimilating these nutrients and a dog assimilating these nutrients, I have to take into account the different biological factors. When I'm talking about digestion, I'm talking about assimilation, I'm talking about using nutrients, I need to look at how a person can take something in and use it, and then compare it to how my dog can. So when I look at a person, I'm looking at first, where does digestion start? And that starts in the mouth. We chew our food. We have salivary glands, which give us saliva that's full of enzymes. We have these nice, flat, grinding teeth. We have these jaws that move around and around and around. And that allows us to start digestion in our mouth. Now, when we're looking at dogs, we have a very different system. So we don't have those flat teeth for the dogs. We have these nice jagged teeth, which actually work in like a scissoring motion, so more for crushing than grinding. The difference, I would say, is kind of, I'm a visual person. So the difference that I think of is the difference between, say, grinding flour out of grain. So if you have grain, you put it into two flat rocks. You grind them around and around and around. They get into a powder form. You end up with flour. So if you had jagged rocks and you were grinding them around and around and around, it's going to take a really long time to make that grain into a flour. And it's going to take even longer if you're actually just sitting there bashing them together. So the big difference that dogs have is you're bashing them together, not only because those teeth are jagged, but because the jaw actually only moves up and down. So rather than grinding something up in the mouth, they're crushing it in order to make it small enough so that it fits down their throat. So their digestion is actually starting in their stomach. So we have the benefit of pre-digesting in the mouth and then moving to the stomach, whereas the dogs go directly to the stomach. So dogs are much more acidic than people are. So when we're talking about how to give our dogs these wonderful nutrient values that we find that they can use, that people can use, we're going to find that unless they're pre-ground, we may not see that dog able to assimilate it. I always give the example of carrots because I have fed many, many raw foods, and as you all know, I'm a big fan of raw foods, and oftentimes they'll have carrot in them. Carrot is a very good antioxidant. It has a lot of properties in it that I think are very nutritious. But it has to be ground really, really well, or I see it out in the grass, in the yard. So if I'm chewing up a carrot, I'm not likely to see it in my stool. But if my dog is just swallowing a carrot and it's not ground up, I'm likely to see it in his stool. So the benefits of those antioxidants, did my dog get them? Probably not, because they're not broken down. Now, say I take that same carrot and I put it in my juicer or my Cuisinart and it is just pulverized into fluids, I'm not going to see it in the stool, and the likelihood that it's going to assimilate is going to be much higher. So this is a part of the basically helpers that we can give our dogs when we're trying to allow them more nutrients. The other part of this that is fascinating to me, which is a big part of what we're going to talk about today, is when something moves from the stomach into the small intestines, if it is going to be a plant matter, it needs a certain amount of fermentation. And because we know a dog doesn't have time, it goes directly into the stomach, they have a very short digestive tract, they're missing one key piece of intestinal helper that people have, that omnivores have, that herbivores have. Carnivores do not have, and this is the cecum. And the cecum in the herbivore is going to be used for basically fermenting that, breaking down that plant matter because they take extra time. So your dog, his little cecum is just a sad little piece of floppy nothing. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't connect to anything. Whereas in, say, your herbivore or your omnivore, it's going to actually connect between the small intestine and the large intestine. So we have a huge advantage in being able to ferment those foods down, basically Cuisinart them down, juice them down so that they're able to be assimilated. Because a dog doesn't have that, fermentation for our dogs becomes a critical, critical way for us to pass all these newly discovered nutrients from this nutrigenomics, you know, field into our animals. We need to find a way to break it down and give them the ability to assimilate it. So today, I am actually going to be talking to Billy Hochman. Billy is the Answers Pet Food Science Coordinator, and he's going to actually go over with us some of the ways that the Answers Pet Food Company has developed their fermentation products, why they use them, and how it can help the body. One of the things that I want us to think about is, as dog owners, we often find we have disagreements. Let's say we have differences of opinions, and those opinions are usually very, very strong. What I like to always come back to is the science. And one of the things that I definitely know that I can count on when it comes to someone like the Answers Pet Food Company is that we're looking at the science behind why we're feeding what we're feeding. And I think it's a really good example for all of us to understand that unless we bridge that gap, there's that knowledge between what we know about ourselves and what we're really comfortable with and the facts about how a dog's body is designed and what it can and can't do with what we're giving it, if we bridge that gap, I think we can take that as helpful science. We can take that as something that we can all agree on rather than fighting back and forth and saying, well, dogs are omnivores or dogs are carnivores. You can look at science. You can look at categories. I think when we're talking about the overall nutritional value of what our dogs are getting, when we're breaking down the amount of protein, the amount of vitamins and minerals, the amount of fiber that they need, we can look at that short digestive tract. We can look at that low ability to break down and digest in the mouth. And we can look at that absence of that cecum, which is really designed to break down and digest plant matter, to help us understand how much plant matter they actually need and how much we actually need to have from an animal source. And that's a huge part of building really good quality foods. So I think we're going to go on a little break, and then we will talk to Billy Hochman.
I love my dog as much as I love you. But you may say my dog will always come through.
Looking for 100% whole food supplements to support your dog's digestion, skin, and overall health? Look no further than Flora 4 Organic Sprouted Seed Mix and treats from the makers of Carnivore Foods. Save your dog from the risks of expensive bottled synthetic supplements. Each easy-to-pour packet is full of laboratory-verified 100% U.S. food-sourced active enzymes, probiotics, and 21 essential vitamins and minerals. That's certified healthy ingredients without the chemicals. Just sprinkle the sprouted seed mix onto your dog's meal for healthy support without the added expense and effort. Or make your treats your nutrition supplement with sprouted squares and sprouty seed snacks full of the same 100% ground organic sprouted seeds. Each crunchy treat is a burst of available nutrition in a tasty reward. Available with grain or grain-free. Transitioning to new foods? Loose stool, flaky skin, or dry coat? Try Flora 4 and leave all the bottles behind. 100% whole food supplementation from the makers of Carnivore Pet Foods.
If you're a snob about your dog's food, Answers Pet Food is the real green science company you've been looking for. Answers Go Green approach includes not only recyclable packaging, but follows the GAP ratings guidelines for sourcing to assure animal welfare practices and conditions on the farms they choose. Offering your dog only clean, 100% natural ingredients that nature designed them to eat. Answers Pet Food includes only food source vitamins and minerals. Their one-of-a-kind cultured whey and kombucha tea fermentations give your dog support for a healthy digestive and immune system. And when it comes to raw foods, you've got questions, and there are answers. The answer to your dog's health and well-being. Designed with nature as its model, Answers Pet Food uses the science, stewardship, and dedication to assure your dog has the best nature can offer in food and supplements. Being a dog food snob just got a whole lot easier.
The new mainstream of talk radio. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
All he asks from me is the food to give him strength. All he ever needs is love, and that he knows he'll get. So I love my dog as much as
all right. I always have to hear that last part of that song. All right, so we are back with Billy Hochman from Answers Pet Food, and he is the science coordinator and our customer representative, and he's been representing them very well for quite a few years now. Billy and I have known each other and learned more and more and exchanged a lot of information. Thank you for joining us, Billy.